Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and today our podcast is on Karl Panzram, a serial killer.
Surprise.
This is the last serial killer we're going to do for a while, so we'll give you a break from them.
I like the serial killer.
I know you do.
I like the serial killer.
But we're going to mix it up a bit. So, but this is a real interesting one, so we wanted to do that one before we got off the serial killers. This guy is a real wacko. Before we get into that, though, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Brandy, the blue hair beauty Herman. How are you today, Brandy?
Great.
And I'm also joined with the very distinguished, exceptional, and...
really?
Just an amazing human being, humanitarian, and that is the Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, thank you very much for the introduction to me. Now, my modesty won't allow me to agree with you.
I understand.
I'm just here trying to...
Neither will
really,
decency.
Really.
Reality.
Trying to do the Lord's work.
As always.
As always. You know, and it's a Saturday.
Yes.
It's getting warm.
It is. It's spring is around the corner.
It's right around the corner. My seasonal affective disorder seems to be
clearing up.
Clearing up. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
You take drugs for that?
I take drugs just sometimes to just take drugs.
Oh,
I mean, not.
Well, I've heard your podcast. When I listen to these podcasts, I can tell that.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm lucid.
We can tell you're high.
Yeah. Okay.
It's medicinal, though. They're prescribed.
Sure.
I do not condone illegal drug use.
Prescribed is in air quotes.
Okay. So let's. We've been criticized. We have some self-criticism about taking too long to get to the story. So let's just get to the story, and then we'll come back for sponsors and shout-outs. I don't think we have any shout-outs today, do we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
Okay.
We do.
Okay, you have a shout-out. You can do a quick shout-out.
No, never mind. I'm not even going to do it.
Christ, we're still taking a long time to get to the story.
Okay, let's get to Karl. Karl Panzram, and I may be pronouncing that name wrong, was born on June 28, 1891. He was a serial killer, rapist, arsonist, and burglar.
He was the Hamburglar.
Come on, guys. He's confessed to at least 21 murders, and interesting enough, sodomized over 1,000 men.
Now that's a busy man, right?
It takes dedication.
Yeah,
he's got
and lots of lube.
Hopefully.
Well, that's true.
We don't really know.
He was imprisoned a number of times during his life, and eventually he was executed for killing a prison employee in Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary in 1930. He was born in Minnesota and born to a poor family. He didn't have a very supportive or loving family.
You don't know what it's like.
It's like Chuck's kids.
Baby, you don't know what it's like.
His family didn't care too much about him.
Love somebody.
So, the first sign of trouble.
That's why I had to break into the Bee Gees. Yeah. He just wanted some love.
And was it the Bee Gees, you dick?
Sometimes Charles breaks into song.
Has somebody loved him?
Well, no, he didn't have anyone to love him.
Although he has loved several. thousand.
If he would have had somebody to love him and properly address his emotional needs,
he may have turned out. Things may have turned out different.
Oh yeah.
But
there'd be a thousand men
happier men in a world
today.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Probably. At least a majority of them. The first sign of trouble came at age 12 when Carl went into a neighbor's home and stole some cake, apples, and a revolver.
Just all things that go together.
Yeah. Yes. Sounds like he was, maybe he was on it. What's that game called where you go collect different stuff?
A scavenger.
Right. Yeah, maybe he was on a scavenger. But anyway, he was sent to the Minnesota State Training School. Sounds like a correctional facility for young boys.
Wayward boys.
Yeah, reform school. And while he was there, he was beaten, tortured by staff members. They called the place, the Minnesota State Training School, the Painting House, because they gave it the name because you come in as a blank canvas and you exit painted with bruises and blood. So it didn't sound like a really...
And I don't think they meant that metaphorically. I think they meant
literally.
They
take
you back to the room and beat the holy hell out.
Yeah. And they tried to force Christianity on him, too, and he didn't appreciate that much, and he became very... come to despise Christianity because of it. He burned down the school, and that's how he responded. They tried to beat the Lord into him, and he ended up burning down the school. So in late 1905, he's eventually released.
I believe he escaped, didn't he?
No, he was released.
He was released after, yeah.
Now, I wonder if he had an IEP. Is that what it is?
An IEP?
IEP.
I'm not sure if they had him then, but maybe.
He could have had anger management, whatever.
By the time he was a teenager, though, he was already an alcoholic. He was repeatedly in trouble with the law. And he ran away from home at the age of 14.
That was a bad mistake.
It was, because he had a tragic thing happen to him. When he ran away, he would jump on freight carts on trains. And on one of his adventures on the train, he was gang raped by a group of hobos.
Now, how many times has the colonel said, don't turn your back on a hobo?
Well, I at least twice a day.
So is the hobo convention like an orgy?
I don't know. There's a hobo convention. For our listeners, there's a hobo convention every year in Iowa, and I really do want to go. They have pie.
How do you get there?
They have pie, and they have ice cream socials.
And it's all free.
Well, I don't know if it's all free, but if any of your folks out there ever been to the hobo convention, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to find out what that's all about. But anyway, he was gang raped by a group of hobos.
Ouch.
And that left an impression on the young Carl.
You don't know what it's like.
So now, we're going to talk about his criminal career, because it goes from bad to worse. So what happens after he's he has his experience?
You say it goes from bad to worse, but I'm trying to think of all the things he did, and I can't think of anything worse than being gang raped by a group of hobos.
Well, he was a victim in that.
I know, but bad to worse. Well, I guess it got better for him, though.
Right, but I mean his behavior.
Yeah.
You should point out that if you're doing any research on this guy, he had about 15 different aliases.
Yeah, he was a very angry man.
Yeah.
An angry man. And
he was
a
friend.
He was a thief. And he'd steal.
Well, most thieves,
that's what, yeah. And then by definition.
Yeah, it's a given.
Just checking.
Could you let me go?
I got it.
And he'd steal. He steal anything from a bicycle to a yacht. Now, this man would steal a yacht if you turned your back on him.
Yeah, you should turn your back on him.
Well, and if you turn your back on him, he might sodomize you.
So,
he steal your bicycle
guaranteed.
And sodomize you, yeah. So,
and I don't know if you're going to go into this, but he claimed he wasn't gay or wasn't a homosexual. He just liked
to punish. It was a sense of punishment.
Yeah, it was a power thing.
It was a power thing. Well, yeah. Rape is a power thing. Everybody knows that rape is a power, it's not a sexual act.
Yeah,
it's a demeaning, powerful, whatever.
It's violence.
It's a sickness. It's a violent act. Mm-hmm. So Colonel does not condone it.
If you were on the edge of whether to do it or
in case you were wondering.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
He speaks out on all the controversial issues.
He's not afraid to take a stand.
Were you against slavery, too?
I was against slavery. Yes, indeed I was. I was against apartheid.
Very progressive.
I'm a kind of a progressive man. But anyway, what's interesting about him is he was a very good thief. Now, occasionally he get caught and thrown in jail. One time he got thrown in jail. Now, here is his, and I mean, I got to give him a shout out on this.
All right.
He broke in to William Howard Taft's house.
That's his opus.
People say we don't talk about history on this show.
Yeah.
This is real history.
He broke in.
President of the United States. Well, he wasn't president then.
He was in Secretary of War.
Yeah.
And he was the one who, when Panzram got, he was enlisted in the Army. He was convicted of larceny and served a prison sentence.
So he went in the Army to try to straighten up, and he still didn't straighten up.
I think he went into the Army to try to get out of a jail sentence after he got caught doing something. Then he goes into the Army. No, he don't straighten up. He's still stealing, larceny and whatnot. So he gets thrown in jail, and William Howard Taft, who's the Secretary of War, then approved the sentence. It was a pretty harsh sentence because larceny, all he was really taking was two biscuits from the commissary. He took two biscuits.
And they threw him in the slammer.
Threw him in the slammer for 2 years.
Being the Secretary of War, I mean, he's just signing. It's just perfunctory, right? I mean, he's just signing a form. He doesn't really know about the case. But anyway, he took exception to that.
He took it pretty damn personally and went to his house. He stole his 1911, his M1911, which is a pretty powerful gun. And then he used that in several murders. And then with the money he got, he went and bought himself a yacht. Because he was no trifling guy.
How much money do you keep in your house? I mean, I'm guessing the Secretary of State.
Maybe he doesn't like banks.
Have you seen William Howard Taft?
Yeah, he's a big man. He was a big man.
He was a big man, and he needed a lot of Snickers balls.
Yeah, well, he
could not. You know, you can't just count on. You got to have cash there if you're going to eat that much.
He took in a lot of calories. He's from Cincinnati.
He is from Cincinnati. He took in a lot of calories. Yes, he did. But anyway, you're getting me off track here.
I'm sorry.
So Panzram, he buys a yacht. And he hires a crew, which he planned to get drunk and sodomize.
He hired a crew that he planned on raping and sodomizing and tossing overside.
Yeah, that was really his plan. It was actually a pretty bad plan because you need a crew.
If you have a yacht.
Yeah, if you're gonna, I mean, I would.
Who will get your drinks?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you get two crews and sodomize the one and. Crew and
sets an example.
As a warning.
Yeah, sets an example.
Yeah, as an example and say, hey, when I tell you, you know, I don't know how jobs work, but yeah.
No salt on the margarita?
Yeah. Well, never mind. So, Panzram described himself as rage personified. And he said he would rape men who he'd robbed because he liked to dominate and humiliate them. He was a powerfully, powerfully strong man. So it was pretty easy for him to overpower most men which he encountered. He also was just mean. He liked to vandalize things. He loved vandalism and arson. Just for
the joy of
annoying it. Yeah, he loved to destroy things. And the one time he was not. He was a strike breaker against union employees. That's when they go in, they fight, they break their heads, they do whatever. That's the one time in his life he didn't engage in criminal activity.
It's like because he was getting. He had an outlet for all of his anger. He could go beat up strikers. You see his picture online. He just looks angry, doesn't he? I mean, he just looks like he's pissed off.
Yeah, he does not look like somebody you want to see walk in. If you're working the counter,
looks like Lurch.
The Burger King at 2 a.m. and the guy says, hey, my Whopper's wrong. You just fix it. You don't argue with the man. You just fix it. So he keeps getting in trouble. He don't know what the hell to do. You know, he's going on and on. He was in Sing Sing. He was in prison in Montana. He served time in California. He served time in New York. He served time in Washington, D.C. He served time in Leavenworth. So he finally gets out about 1915. And I don't know how he keeps getting committed. He keeps getting sent to prison, but this is before everything was computerized, so I guess they didn't know.
They have no database or...
So now he's in Astoria, Oregon.
And he was using all these aliases, too.
Well, that's true. That's true. Now, he's in Astoria, Oregon, and he breaks into a house, but he gets arrested right after he tries to sell some of them. So now he's sentenced to 7 years in prison at the Oregon State.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems, too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and, of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Penitentiary. Now, Oregon... Every place in Oregon's nice. So even if you go to the penitentiary, it's not a bad place. But
we have a lot of listeners in Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Beautiful area of the country.
But unfortunately, he got sent to this place where they had Harry Minto.
You like Mentos, don't you?
Well, I love Mentos.
Yeah, he is.
Mentos and Coke.
Actually, Harry Minto was the warden. His family would go on to... produce and create the Mentos candy.
No, I didn't.
I believe the warden's name was Minto, M-I-N-T-O, right?
Yes.
Okay, but they could have gone on.
They could have.
They could have. We don't know that he did.
We're not saying that.
We don't know that he didn't. So, Minto was kind of like if you made Carl Panzram the warden of a prison. He believed in harsh treatment of inmates. He liked to beat them, isolate them.
He was very cruel, worded.
Yeah, he was very, very mean. He was.
It was almost like he was back.
It's like you put the Blue Hat Devil in charge of a prison.
Yeah,
I don't know what that's supposed to be.
But it was almost like Carl was back to the
back to his childhood.
Yeah, back to the reform school.
You don't know what it. Well, see, I think if somebody would have loved the poor man when he was little, there's none of this would happen.
He didn't get any love.
He didn't get a hug.
Hey, Dr. Phil. Tell us more.
I'm sorry. Am I getting off track? Well, another guy. Now Panzram hates the warden. And he said, you know what? I'm never going to do 7 years here. So Panzram and another guy, Otto Hooker. Now, what kind of name is that?
It's my new favorite name.
You know, if you spell his name backwards, it's the same.
No, it's not.
Otto?
Well, Otto, but not Otto Hooker. Yeah, not
there's
Otto
a name Hooker. For that. What's the word for that when you spell it? Backwards. We'll look it up.
You asked me too fast.
I can.
Well, anyway, now we're getting to the exciting part.
Okay,
I'm getting to the climax of the story here.
All right. Go on with the climax.
Now, Panzram and the hooker escaped from the prison. And while evading capture, hooker...
It was like Shawshank.
Shawshank?
Yeah.
That was the B movie.
Shawshank? That was Shawshank. The porn?
Yeah, that was
whatever.
The porn. Yeah, Shawshank.
Whatever.
Shawshank?
Yeah, it's like
Sharknado?
That. It's like that. Shark Tank.
Shark Tank? So anyway, they escape. Him and Hooker escape.
How did they escape?
They saw through the bars in the thing. Now, they out 61 days, but why they're out? They're chasing him down, you know, and even Minto, because he had to get all involved, you know. Warden should just stay back, let the hounds get him or whatever, because, you know, I'll tell you
what. Well, he took it personally.
He did take it personally. He went out to catch him. Now, I'll tell you what he should have done, and had it been today, you let the hounds go after him, you know what they could have done?
What?
Just call Rudebaker Clancy. You know he had hound, half beagle,
yeah.
Or half beagle, half German shepherd. He'd have caught these two.
No time.
Chewed them to pieces.
Mm-hmm, no time.
But anyway, back to the story. So, Hooker killed Minto. He caught him out in the woods and killed him. So now, he's lucky the hooker got him and not Carl, because Carl would have done the dirty to him and then killed him.
He would have sodomized him as well.
He would have. But they got away and got caught. He was out 61 days. He was involved in two shootouts and got returned to the prison.
Some bitch couldn't stay out of trouble.
No. But somehow he gets back in jail and he gets a hold of, I don't know how, they must have gave him a job in a machine shop. You know, these weren't smart people. So he saws through the bars again and escaped again. Now, this time he avoids capture. He jumps on a freight train heading east.
You think he'd stay away from the freight trains?
You know, I think by this time he was raping the hobos. I will guess by this time he was raping the hobos.
Yeah, he was doing a lot of stuff.
And he started going by the name of John O'Leary and shaved off his mustache, which was a very impressive mustache, but he got rid of it. Then he starts doing crazy stuff. Now, Pandram's, you know, he's involved in one murder, and he's as an accessory before the fact. But this is when he begins his killing spree.
He doesn't have anything to lose at this point.
Right. So he's got this money from Taft. He gets the yacht, and he calls it the Akiska. So he lures sailors in New York away from bars, gets them drunk, rapes them, shoots them with the .45 that he got from them. Dumps the body off in Long Island Sound. Now, he says he killed 10 in all, and there ain't no reason. This guy ain't a braggart. You know, he just mean.
He kind of confessed all this stuff to a prison guard at the end of his life, I think.
Yeah.
Who said would be his only friend. I see that as more of a professional relationship, a guard and a prisoner, but damn, it was the closest thing he had at a friend.
Right.
And then it never really explains why he does this, and he never really says why he does it, but he crashed the vessel. He shipwrecked the
yacht. Yeah. The Akiska.
Yeah, he was not going to win the World Cup anytime soon, so he ran the yacht aground. And luckily for two of his victims, they got away. So what Pandram does is he jumps on a ship and goes to Africa.
Another ship,
yeah. And nobody knows why he went to Africa, but he stops him in Angola first, where he killed an 11 and 12-year-old boy. And he confesses to this when, you know, later on after he's caught. And he said, this is what kind of sick man this man was. He says his brains were coming out of his ears when I left him, and he'll never be any deader. Now, he also claimed that while he was rowing a boat, he shot the rowers and threw the bodies to the crocodiles.
Now, see, that's what I mean. Sometimes it's hard to know what if he's bullshitting. We know he's killed. He killed a lot of people, so there's no reason really to doubt him. But
who could have rowed the boat?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. At least wait till you get to the shore to shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what
he fed him to crocodiles.
Fed him to crocodiles.
According to him.
According to him. So, you know, now he had all kinds of crazy. He wanted to wipe out an entire. He became like a figure on a Batman. Under Batman. You know, he could have been the Joker, the whatever.
He wanted to start a war, didn't he?
Well, he wanted to poison an entire city water supply with arsenic.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He wanted to scuttle a British warship. To provoke a war between Britain and the United States, which I think at this time we would have won. It was 1928. It was pretty wiped out by
World War. We just was allies with them a few years earlier.
Yeah, but
I don't know what his thinking was. But didn't he also raped and killed two small boys during this time?
Yeah, that's the 11 and 12 year old. I tried to skip over the rape part. I'm tired of him raping people. He's and when he's in prison, this is what he says. In my lifetime, I jumped ahead a little bit. Now, he's in 1928, he finally comes back to the United States. He's arrested for burglary in Washington, D.C. And he confessed to killing those two boys. And at this time, he becomes friends with a prison guard named Henry Lesser. Now, Lesser, he gave Pandram some writing stuff, and Pandram wrote his autobiography. And here's one of the quotes from it, and this tells you kind of what he was like. It says, in my lifetime, I have murdered 21 human beings. I've committed thousands of burglaries, robberies, larcenies, arsons, and last but not least, I have committed sodomy on more than 1,000 male human beings. For all these things, I am not the least bit sorry.
So he didn't have any remorse for all
he didn't,
his...
No, he didn't have no remorse. He was happy. You know what he had remorse for? That he didn't kill 55 and sodomize 5,000.
Yeah.
That's what he had remorse for. And so that's when they're going to execute him.
So he's arrested, charged with murder, convicted, gets a death sentence, and sentenced back to Leavenworth for
Well, he was
execution.
Given a 25-year sentence.
Okay.
And he just walks into jail and says, you know, I killed the first man that bothers me. That's what he tells the warden. And he was considered a psychotic, so he was given a solitary job in the laundry room. And then he decided to kill this guy named Robert Warnke. Who was a foreman of the prison laundry. He beat him.
So he was a man of his word.
Oh, he was. So then he got sentenced to death. He could have appealed it, but he refused to appeal, and he threatened to kill a human rights activist who attempted to intervene on his behalf.
He did not want to mess around.
He did not. So he got hanged.
What did he think about the human race?
What did he think about the human
race?
Did
he say something that he wished the entire human
race? He wished the entire human race had just one neck, one big fat neck, and I could wrap my hands around it. And then, and this is how cantankerous he is. And I thought the blue-haired devil was cantankerous, but this
Well, man, she is.
He's more cantankerous than her. When the executioner comes up to hang him, he looks at him and says, come on, hurry it up, you Hoosier bastard. I could hang a dozen men while you're screwing around here.
And you're not making that up. That was his actual quote.
Yeah, who's your bastard? I could hang a dozen men while you're screwing around.
I guess the executioner must have been from Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think calling somebody a Hoosier is an insult.
Insult no matter where
they're
from.
Across the United States. Yeah.
I see.
It's because it means you're from Indiana, and people from Indiana are considered slow-witted.
I see. So he was hanged, and he was buried in Leavenworth Penitentiary, mm-hmm. Cemetery.
Yeah.
And the writings that he gave to Henry Lesser, Lesser hung on to those, and he tried to get them published. And it took him a number of years. So that was in 1929, I guess, when he was, or 1930 when he was executed. And it wasn't until 1970 that he finally, Lesser was finally able to get publisher for the Panzerand's letters, the manuscript. And it was released under the title Killer, a journal of Murder. The book was praised for its insight into the mind of a serial killer. And then in 1996, there was a movie based on that book, starring James Woods as Carl Panzerand. And
James Woods, a fine actor.
Yeah, he is. He is indeed.
You know, he went to MIT.
I did not know that.
Very smart man.
So, we kind of just went on and on, and Brandy didn't get to speak at all.
That's what we call good day.
That's how you evaluate the day. That's how you evaluate things at the end of the day.
Well, it depends on how much the blue-haired devil has yelled at me, and she hasn't yelled at me too much.
Brandy, do you have any closing thoughts?
No.
I gotta thank our sponsor.
Okay, well, who is our sponsor today?
Our sponsor today is Holy Sheets.
Holy Sheets, and what
Holy
do they
sheets.
Do?
They make sheets. How do you think they do?
I didn't know. That's why I asked.
Yeah, but they make the sheets from back in the Jesus day.
Burlap.
Now, yeah, like you can get the 25 count burlap pillowcases.
Yeah, very very sturdy.
Yeah, you can get them, you know, like the sheets, whatever. The shrouds. You can get a shroud if you want.
I always wanted a shroud.
Yeah, and that is not to be confused with heavenly sheets. These are holy sheets.
Oh, yeah. Can you get shrouds online?
You can get shrouds online.
Shrouds.com?
Yes.
No.
Amazon?
No,
Maybe Amazon.
For the love of God, would you go to Holy Sheets? They're our sponsor.
Yes. Definitely go to Holy Sheets.
HolySheet.com.
HolySheets.com.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Tell them how I sent you, you get 10% off. And don't forget, send in your questions. Ask the Colonel.
Ask the Colonel on Colonel's Facebook page. Or you can submit them
on... You can put it on the History Dweeb page.
History Dweeb page. Thank you for your participation on that. We're, all of our podcasts are available free. Hard to believe we don't charge for this.
It's hard to believe you get these for free, but, you know, they're a bargain at any price.
Yeah, some things you can't put a dollar amount on. So, at iTunes and Stitcher. And thank you for joining us. Next time we'll have something, a new podcast that probably won't have anything to do with serial killers. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again real soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.